Move and minister and have your way, Father. We just give this service to you. Holy Spirit, we entreat you and we welcome you. And we ask that you'll come. Come in Jesus' name. Worship the Lord with us tonight. Amen.
Good to see you guys tonight. Halfway through the week, time to get recharged. Thank you, Lord.
Be still, there is a healer whose love is deeper than the sea. His mercy is unfailing. His arms a fortress for the weak. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever.
Faithful, Lord.
Jesus, oh, there is none like you.
bless your name. Like you are God, you sit in the throne of heaven, we behold your majesty, we behold your great beauty, there is none like. There is none like you. There is none like you. We bless your name, Lord. We bless you. We bless you, oh God. We bless you. for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for your mercy, O Lord. Thank you for your covenant that you will not break. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us into that place that you desire. As a body, into that place that you desire, Lord, where unity and love together like a well-oiled machine. You said that they would know us by the love that we have one for another. Thank you, Lord. Let your love abound in us tonight. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Can we just bless him right now? Thank you, Lord, for your goodness.
Spirit of the Lord is in the house. We're going to ask the ushers to come forward. We're going to take our
still be talking about opening heaven. Second Corinthians chapter number 2. Verse number four. And the Bible says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are really given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discern. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife, divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Let us pray. Father, thank you tonight for your word, and we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus that you come and touch our hearts and our minds, that you would grant unto us, Father God, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. And Lord, we believe for that tonight in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Amen. Still talking about an open heaven tonight. And I was thinking about this service and just want to just recap just a few things and deposit this in your heart tonight. How that in Mark chapter number 1 verses 9 and 11, I think we need to read that again. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We talked about if heaven is opened over our lives, that we have an advantage over our enemy. Somebody say, praise God. One of the things that happened for Jesus is when he was baptized in water, was when the anointing came upon his life for the messianic office that God had called him to. And so that anointing is really important for us. It's like we talked about this Sunday before we went out into the baptism pool, how that it's important for us to understand that God wants us acclimated, into the ministry. He wants us activated into the things of God. And so how that we are to believe God, for that anointing to come upon us. Everybody say this with me. Say, I am anointed. I am anointed. My God has anointed me. And I believe that I will do great things for him in Jesus' name. We talked about how that an open heaven is where heaven's will is being accomplished on earth. Heaven's will being accomplished on earth. So the big question is, in America right now, in the nations of the earth, we have to ask ourselves, is the will of God being done in earth as it is in heaven? Some people would say, well, I see scripture being fulfilled. I see prophecy being fulfilled and lots of things happening that the scripture talks about. But on the other hand, we want to ask ourselves the question, is the will of God being done in earth as it is in heaven? Because what did Jesus say? Repent, believe the gospel. He also gave us the commission. He said, you go and you preach the gospel, and in my name, you're going to be able to do these things. He said, go preach, go heal the sick, go cast out the devil, tread upon the power of the enemy. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So when we ask that question and say to ourselves, is the will of God being done in earth as it is in heaven? I would say right now, if the church had been about the Father's business, that we would have a whole different America right now, and the nations of the earth would be in a different condition than they are right now as well. So I want to pray, just like Jesus, my Father in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And it's more than that, because when I prayed that prayer, I'm being activated. I'm realizing that God's calling me to do something. So lots of us, we read this out of Deuteronomy last week. We talked about the cursing. We talked about the blessing, how that we are redeemed from the curse of the law out of the book of Galatians. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And one of the blessings of God is that we have the heavens that are opened over our lives. And I will open unto you, Deuteronomy 28, my good treasure, the heavens to give rain to your land in its season, that all the works of your hands shall be blessed. So how many know tonight God wants the work of your hands to be blessed? You got blessed hands when the sick get healed. You got blessed hands when you go to work and you get paid good. Somebody say amen. You have blessed hands, you know, when you just go out in life and just do what Jesus wants you to do. And the blessing of God, you just have the peace of God working in your life and the blessings of God working in your life. And we talked about how that one of those words for blessing there is Barak. And there's several words that are used for blessing in the Bible. But that particular word there is that there's a reservoir in your life. I will open unto you my depository. I will open unto you my good treasure. God wants us blessed. Psalm 112. Blessed to the point that we reach around behind us into that reservoir, that depository, and are able to bless the nations of the earth. Amen. So we want to be a blessing to other people. I mean, I couldn't tell you at the times that, like, I'm in Walmart. Let me ask you a question. How many has ever been in Walmart, seen a person in front of you fumbling around in their pocketbook trying to find enough money, and you're thinking, just my God, just I'll pay for it. How much is it? So y'all saying, like, what? See, we get impatient and fuss about it, but really, probably what God is wanting us to do is to reach around in our reservoir and bless them. And they'll say, what did you do that for? Because my Father's rich. My Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's made me the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. He wants me to lend to many nations and not borrow. He wants me to be a giver because he gave the best gift. Somebody say, I want to be like my Father in heaven. So if I have an open heaven over my life, I even think about what Malachi says when he talks about tithing and giving. And one of the great mysteries there is because I have never, never, ever, ever, ever seen this. He says, you know, when he talks about the blessing of a person who's a giver, who's a tither, he says to us, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. I've never had a blessing like that. I mean, I've had blessings that I couldn't receive, but he's talking about blessing that is so mind-boggling. We think about the hundredfold blessing, those kinds of things in Scripture, the way that God wants to bless us, but it's all, everybody say, it's all connected to winning the world to Jesus. The wealth of the wicked is later for us to win the world. We talk about, George Soros. We think about the Rothschilds. We think about the Rockefellers. We think about all the different, the Oprah Winfreys. We think about, you know, Bill Gates. We think about the billionaires of the world. That money they have is laid up for the righteous to whom it was intended. And you know what? Isn't it amazing over the past year that we've seen God shake things up, move things around, and cast down the idols of men and rearrange finances? And so I'm saying, I don't know what your next move is, God, but it's got to be something big. Amen. Amen. You look back at Abraham in Genesis, and what did God say to him? He said, I'm going to bless you, and all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through you and because of you, because Jesus is going to come out of that seed. And so we think, yes, Jesus is the greatest blessing that we could ever have. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus planted himself in the earth that he could reap the world. And so that's an important thing for us to get tonight. Why do I want an open heaven over me? How many understand tonight that there are times in your life, it's like worship tonight. Man, it was awesome. Praise God, there was an open heaven. I could feel the presence and the power of God, the angels ministering and all the different things and the rich presence of the Lord. The heavens were open. The heavens were open. But every time the heaven is open, it's open so that I can respond to what heaven is doing. Some of us need a refreshing. Some of us needed a mind touch. Somebody say amen. Some of us need to get charged up. Amen. We just needed a lot of different stuff. And say, isn't it amazing how God just rushes in and does all that in just a few moments? But see, the key to this, is that God wants you to know, say, look, I'm your Father. Somebody say, you're my Father. He's the God that owns all things. Everything belongs to him. The cattle is his, the silver, the gold, everything. It belongs to God. And these people in the world, listen, these people in the world think it's theirs. It's not theirs. Everything is on lease and everything they have is borrowed. But we're his kids. We're covenant people, praise God. Every resource that we have is through him, of him, and by him. And so we're just like, you know, it's like any time that I've ever blessed my son or wanted to bless somebody else's children or we bought things for somebody, it's because I just like doing it, like to see response. Amen. You ever bought something for somebody just want to see the response? Amen. Glory to God. And so our Father, he blesses us to do that. And so that's why people, you know, when they say, hey, you're standing in that line at Walmart and that person's fumbling through there, well, you know, you owe me 88 more cents. Just pull out a $5 bill and throw it at the person. Say, let's go, honey. Let's get out of here. Let's move forward. Somebody say amen. Do you know what you're doing? You're paying it forward, all right. But, you know, you're putting yourself in a position for your Father to do something special for you. Somebody say yes. Amen. See, it's our advantage. It's our advantage. Somebody say, it's my advantage. An open heaven is an advantage to me because I understand, just like Jesus did when he said the words, from this time forward, you'll see the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Well, if I'm his body and I'm in this earth, I understand that there's angelic activity for me. We talked about that when we pray, like Daniel, the angel said what to him? I have come for thy words. The moment that Jesus Christ died, went to heaven, put his blood on the mercy seat, the veil in the, you know, and the veil in the temple was rent, the heavens have been open since that day for us. Theologically, they're open. But there are things that we can do to plug up the hole, to hinder God. How many have ever hindered God? Somebody say, I want to get the front of the line, throw up both hands and both feet. See, I've hindered him. I've stood in the way. I've resisted. Now, that's what Peter's first message was. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. And so tonight, you know, when we talk about that open heaven is where God's will is being accomplished in the earth. Somebody say it's being accomplished. Amen. There's just a nearness from heaven to earth. We feel that activity. We feel that connection. And so there is a sense of clarity to the thought. I mean, it's like, you know, when you're under the anointing and you're in divine presence of the Lord and God is moving, man, you think clearer. You can see things differently. You say, man, when the word comes forth and you have revelation for you, you say, man, I've seen that now. I've never seen that before. I've learned something I've never seen before. I mean, God's opening things up to me like I've never seen before. That's because of his presence. Somebody say, because of his presence. Amen. And so an open heaven is where people can actually think for themselves and not be influenced by the outside world. Amen? Amen. See, I readily know because of an open heaven through Christ and through the Word of God, I automatically know that, you know, that all the stuff that is happening in my world is not the Spirit of God, it's the Spirit of Antichrist. And so what I want to do is be God's agent and ambassador in this earth to show forth his will, to show forth his purpose. Amen. Now, I made this statement last week. The best way to increase the effects of an open heaven over our lives until it touches an entire region or a nation is to simply steward what you've been given. Amen. Look at somebody and say, be a good steward of what you got. Amen. Steward what you have been given. And so that's like any church, any one individual. You know, what do you do with what God gives you? How do you handle it? How do you steward it? Do you use it for the kingdom? Or do you use it for self? Or do you ever think about, you know, doing something to minister to the world or to touch someone that's lost or to bring glory and honor to the Father, because all of those things are important. Somebody say, yes, they are. Amen. So I want to read this verse again to you tonight, you know, from the Bible about Jesus being baptized in verses 9 and 10 tonight. And this is what it says in Mark chapter 1. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. One writer puts it like this, as Jesus was praying, and as he was praying, the heavens being opened, the Spirit of God coming upon him and abiding like a dove. And I like the way that John puts it forth, because he says the Spirit descended upon him like a dove and it remained. And that phrase "remain" is important. We said this last week and it needs to be repeated again. It's crucial for us and critical for us, because the Spirit of God rested upon him and never had a reason to retreat. All right, let's back up a little bit and talk about stewarding what God gives us. Do we give God reasons to retreat from our lives or to hold back blessing? Will God bless the evil in your life or the carnal nature or the flesh? Let's put it that way. Will God bless bad decisions? Will God bless apathy? Will God bless laziness? Will God bless, because those things hinder God greatly in our lives, procrastination. Those things hinder him greatly. How many times has God dealt with us to overcome the flesh? Because in the Revelation, the reoccurring theme is what? Overcoming. He that overcometh. He that overcometh. He that overcometh. So, if the Spirit of God never had a reason to retreat from Jesus' life, now listen, because of his attitude or his behavior or his conduct or his thought, or any of those things in his life, and never had a reason to retreat, we need to ask ourselves, okay, he operated under an open heaven because everything that Jesus did prospered and was blessed. I would like everything in my life and your life to prosper and be blessed. Amen. Mr. Spock on Star Trek, live long and prosper. I can't say I'm like getting too old to do it now, but live long and prosper, because that's what God wants out of us. Now, I want you to think for a few minutes. Am I doing things in my life, or is God dealing with me? Because listen, I'm not saying I have arrived or God never get tempted or never go any things or never procrastinate or never feel lazy or have any of that stuff going, because every human being alive deals with it. The thing about it is God wants us to do more than deal with it. He wants us to overcome and conquer those things. Amen. And so when we began to look at the things in our life, especially the flesh, and we'll get into this, what Paul was talking about over here in Corinthians, maybe in a few minutes, but the flesh can hold back the blessing of God from your life and the goodness of God from your life. It's not that he wants to, it's just that everybody say, it's me, it's not him. Say, it's me, it's not him. Because he tells me, if I'll hearken diligently to his voice and chase after him, that his blessing will chase me down and overcome me. And so I have enough sense to know it's like, the commentary said that's out, handfuls on purpose. It's like God has handfuls on purpose for us in our pathway in life, that blessings come from every direction. And I can say right now, I am more blessed than I deserve. Amen. More blessed than I deserve. So Jesus is the example, man. I mean, he's the guy that you look at. He is the one. He is Lord of glory. He's the one that you look to, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the example that you look to. And so when we look to him, he said, I do my Father's will. I do what I see him do. I say what I hear him say. I go where he tells me to go. Amen. Somebody say, that's called obedience. That's called obedience. Did Jesus have a choice in that? Yes. Did his flesh always want to do it? No. That's like Alan was singing tonight. Human. Everybody say human. Look at another person, say human. See, man, if I didn't have to worry about my flesh, I'd have it made. Praise God. See, I have enough sense to know that I'm a tripart being, and if I could separate the flesh from the spirit, I could stand over here and look and say, that thing right there is no good. It gets me a problem. It hurts sometimes. It doesn't want to get out of bed sometimes. Doesn't want to pray. Doesn't want to fast. Doesn't want to read the Bible. Does, you know what I'm saying? It wants to retreat and not move forward. It wants to always avoid the things that are out there of the spirit, because that's just the nature of the flesh. Amen. Somebody say the nature of the flesh. And so Jesus dealt with the same thing. He knows exactly what we go through. But see, that's why, everybody look at somebody and say, that's why, when the Spirit of God came down upon his life and anointed him, somebody say anointed him for his purpose, that messianic office that he was to stand in and to bring that, because he knew that he would go to the cross. And I have to say, you know, when I think about what he went through on the cross, and then, you know, the pre-judgment, the judgment hall of Pilate, being beaten and ridiculed and spit on, the crown of thorns, the slapping and the yanking out of the beard and everything like that, that was Jesus having more than a bad day. And I don't know whether you understand it or not, but I think about my flesh has no stripe marks. It's not bleeding. I'm not infested with, you know, with inflammation or, you know, I don't have gangrene, which they say that Jesus probably had, you know, from all the beating and the hours that it took, you know, for him to get actually to the cross. You know, but when I look at myself and I see him get up having no choice and say, this is what I was born for. This is what I came to do. And my Father's will is what I'm going to fulfill. What did Pilate say? Are you the Son of God? You know, what were they saying? Man, get the angels to come and get you if you're the Son of God. And what was Jesus' reply? He said, I could tell you right now, I can call a legion of angels to come and get me. But I could hear it under his breath. But devil, you're not having your way. Flesh, you're not going to get your way right now. That's an indicator to me that in your worst hour, when hell is tempting you the worst and when you feel the worst, that's when your greatest breakthrough is at hand, and when heaven is really open wide to bring and birth something in our lives that we are unexpected of. Somebody say amen. So if the devil is working overtime right now and giving you hell on earth, you must be right on the precipice of a great move of the Spirit of God and a rending of the heaven for God's hand to come down and do something mighty. And so, you know, one of the things that I've learned over the years is when the enemy begins to attack, I begin to lift up my praise. I'm serious. I'll ride down the road. I'll make up songs. I'll sing songs. I'll praise God. Praise God. I'll come over here. That's, you know, songs that I've written. A lot of times have come out of that because I'll just do it and I'll sing. I remember that song, Going to the Mountain of the Lord. When I wrote that song, I couldn't tell you the hours that I was over here praying. I just kept playing it. And that song began to come to me and I began to birth it. And the old tears just running down my cheeks. And I just seen it because I could see David T. Coleman climbing that mountain and ascending up to that. And, you know, if you've ever been to the over to Oregon and you're flying from Tacoma coming in, or you're traveling and you can see Mount Hood and you can see those clouds that are way down here and the peak of that mountain sticking way up at the top. Has anybody ever seen that? That's what I was like. I'm like, man, if I get through the fog and get to the tip top, I'm going to be able to see as miles and miles and miles and of great clarity from the mountaintop that God takes me to. Because if I can just get in the mountain of the Lord, somebody say, get to the mountain of the Lord. Get to it. And so sometimes that takes just pressing and pushing with everything that you have. But there's something, man, about all of a sudden, I think about Jesus going back to the beginning of that ministry when the Holy Spirit came down and he was baptized in the fire of God, the Spirit of God right there, when he was baptized in the Holy Ghost and that anointing came upon his life. The Bible says the Spirit drove him into the wilderness and he beat the crap, out of the devil. He beat the hell out of the devil. Right there in the wilderness when rocks look like biscuits, come on. And when he could have took the easy way out and said, yeah, I'll take the pinnacle of the temple. I'll do that. But he knew who he was already. He said, hey, I hadn't got to prove anything to the devil. I am the Son of God. You can say, I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. Now are we the sons of God? Now are we the body of Christ? See, he knew who he was. And so he went out and defeated Satan. What did the Bible say? He returned in the power of the Spirit. And so when I read that scripture in Isaiah 64 that we would talk about, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, you know, like you did in Exodus and show yourself and manifest your power and glory on that mountain, like the fire and the presence of God. When you've shown yourself through all those mighty signs and wonders, you know, God, when you did that, oh, I want you to rip open the heavens and came. He did that the same way with Jesus. Jesus came down to open my heaven. My heaven is open. You know, it's like I referred to many times about that movie, The Bear. I know a lot of us saw that, you know, the Bear movie, where the little cub was out on the limb and it's a big old cougar that was like, and that little bear was like going, the little bear, the cougar could have ate his lunch. And all of a sudden, that cougar turned around and ran as hard as he could run. That little cub bear was screaming with everything. And then it showed the camera turned around and big old Kodiak was standing right there going, roar! See, I might have a little squeak of a meow, but the roaring lion of the tribe of Judah is inside of me and he's inside of you. That's what happens from our open heaven. And that's what the enemy sees, and that's what we need to see. My heaven's open. Your heaven is open because of what Jesus did. But I can't hinder him. I can't hinder him. And so here, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he's talking to them about spiritual things and carnal things. And listen to what he says. He said, my speech and my preaching, when I came to you, I didn't come to you with enticing words of a man's wisdom and you know, all this stuff, but I came to you in the demonstration and the power of the Spirit of God, declaring unto you the testimony of God, that your faith wouldn't stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not. See, he's building up to something here. He's getting ready to pop her bubble. And he said, guys, this is the way I came to you. He said, I could have came to you as a Pharisee. I could have came to you as a Hebrew of Hebrews. I could have came to you as one of the most educated men that there is. I could have came to you in all kind apostolic authority. I could have came, all this be said, but I chose to come to you in fear and trembling because, you know, because I'm nothing. I have nothing in myself. And we certainly, I think about that because when I often get up here, if you knew what I went through tonight just to get out here, my computer wouldn't print. I had David down there looking at the computer. I was looking at the computer. I wanted to take a gun and shoot it, but I didn't have one. I thought about getting my sword and just running it through, or getting one of these ladies that's going through the armor of God to come out and do something about it. Or, you know, but there's 10,000 things I wanted to do. You know, so when I'm talking to you tonight, I'm in much fear and trembling. That's what Paul is talking about. He said, man, I'm in weakness, but he's got power. And I love what he says right here in verse 9. We read this out of the prophet Isaiah. As it is written, eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So when I look back to Exodus or Deuteronomy or Isaiah or Matthew or Luke, and I see the rent heavens and all the things, and I understand that God's opened the heaven to me, that's God revealing to me by his Spirit what he's done for me. Amen. So when I have a need, I need to understand I am in the presence of God. I am under an open heaven. I don't want to do anything to cause the Holy Spirit to retreat. I want to do everything to ask him to come. Because the devil's going to say, see there, you did something wrong. You sinned like Deborah did with a black sock and a white sock Sunday morning. Amen. Look at somebody said, ain't no black socks and white socks in the kingdom. Amen. It's either obedience or disobedience. Somebody say, yes. And so, you know, when we are in that position, I understand. And hey, you know, number one, I'm serving the Lord. I don't want jealousy, envy, strife, or any of that kind of mess in my life. I don't want unforgiveness, bitter. I don't want any of it. I want my heaven to stay open. I don't want to do anything to have the Holy Spirit, you know, to retreat from me. I don't want that mess. Somebody said, I don't want it. Look at somebody said, it ain't worth it. It ain't. Ain't's a Greek for is not. Y'all write that down. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Why? It shuts the heaven. Actually, it doesn't shut the heaven. You know what it does? It messes with my head. And I got a lot of guilt and mess going on up here, and it's blocking my flow is what's happening. Amen. So God's revealed to me by his Spirit. Somebody says revealed it to me by his Spirit. And so here the Corinthian church is, and they're all puffed up because one's been baptized by Apollos and one's been baptized by Paul. And, you know, and then they're going through all this stuff about bragging. And Paul, he comes to them and straightens them out. He pops their balloon. Somebody say, praise God. But one of the things that I learn out of this, he says, I'm like, who wants to stand around and say, Brother Coleman baptized me Sunday night? Todd Smith baptized me Sunday night, or, you know, or whoever came along, the overseer baptized me Sunday night. I said, I don't give a holy hoot. I'll baptize myself. I'll just jump in myself, praise God. Amen. I baptize myself in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'm going to dive in. Somebody say, glory to God. God knows our hearts. Somebody say, yes, he does. Amen. And it's like I told you the other night, leave the ring around the pool when you get out. And so really this is what Paul is saying to them. He said, guys, he said, look, you're stopping up your flow. You're plugging up the sky. You are hindering what God wants to do. You are causing the Holy Spirit to retreat instead of allowing the blessing of God to come up on you. And so he tells them, look, man, I haven't been able to give you meat. I got to feed you milk and all this stuff. And I condensed that down and put that in the analogy. It's like parting the mustache to give a bottle to somebody. Somebody say, wouldn't Alan Kobler look good with a bottle? I mean, dude, look at that beard, man. He said, something that ain't right, man. That's not right. And so it's just what Paul's saying. He's painting this picture. He said, it's a little ridiculous. He said, what are we in this for? He said, it's not about, he said, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you guys. He said, well, maybe one or two of you. And he names their names. And think about this is that, you know, he begins to talk about the carnal man. He begins to talk about the spiritual man. And then he brings out this point that is so fantastic. And he says, look, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He said, I like what Jim Mangold used to say. He said, I'm just God's little messenger boy. And that's what we are. We're just the messengers. We're just the messengers. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that waters, but God gives the increase. He said, God, our Father in heaven is the one that is to receive the glory and the honor and the power and the blessing. Somebody say glory to God. Now listen to what he goes on to say. He that planteth, he that watereth is what? One. Amen. So it's like church. We are many, but we are one. Somebody accomplished something, we ought to all rejoice. This is the great thing about it. It's like I've noticed this, you know, down through the years, but, you know, we think about how that so often it's one person that gets the glory, but it's not. It's everybody. Everybody gets to rejoice in whether one person did, because number one, that person, somebody say that person, whoever that person is, the very fact that they are here means that I was a partaker of whatever happened. Say, look at somebody, say, you don't get nothing without me helping. Just tell them, say, you don't get nothing without me helping. Amen. Say, hey, it's like you ladies that bake cakes. You wouldn't be nothing if you didn't have somebody eat it. I mean, seriously. And the guy that invented the oven, what about him? What about the dude that makes the cake mix? I mean, come on. I mean, you know, it's like, what about the icing? Who make that? You know, it's like, see, we all, somebody say, everybody is a partaker. We are the body of Christ. We are one. And that's the way that we need to think. That's why when one member suffers, we all suffer. When one member rejoices, we all rejoice. That's what opens heaven wide. Why? Because when the Father comes down, what does he like to do? Glorify the Son. Because when the Son is glorified, the Father gets glorified. Amen? The Father gets glorified when that happens. So listen to this. For we are all laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation, but another come and builds on it. Because how many knows? I remember years ago when I, you know, built my house, and at the top I had these brick things put in, and the guy put them too close. And so I knew Deborah would run into it and knock it down. So I just went and tore it down, tractor. You know what I'm saying? But I was thinking to myself, you know, those footers are still up there. But nobody ever sees them. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If I'd have left the brick thing standing up, people walked by and said, man, that's nice. And the footers would have said, what about me? I'm never seen. I'm never recognized. But without the footer or the foundation, you wouldn't be able to hold no brick up. Amen? It's the same way. You know, so you may be a foundational part, or you may be a brick, or, you know, you may be the mortar or whatever, but, you know, it's everything together. Somebody said, it's everybody. Say, we're one. So Paul said, I'm a wise master builder in the respect that I laid the foundation, but another came and built on it. I didn't have some sneaky attitude that's going to say, I know what I'm going to do because I want this guy to get fired by God. So I'm going to undermine him and put a weak foundation in. Woo! Man, that would preach, wouldn't it? That would be bad. Somebody said that would be bad. And so Paul said, I'm a wise master builder because, number one, I understand. Every brick that gets laid points back to me. When I get to heaven and they start passing out the rewards to every brick and to the mortar and to the masons, they're going to come and they're going to reward the guy that is in the foundation. Now, there's more than cement in the foundation. Somebody say there's sand and there's stone. Amen. Isn't it amazing how much ingredients it takes to make anything? Look at somebody and say, you're fearfully and wonderfully made yourself. Oh, if we just knew, just knew. Think about one thing. He said, I'm like this, and I got to close, but you just think for just a moment. God created your eyeball. Somebody can throw a baseball at 105 miles an hour, and your eye can calculate it coming and knows exactly when to stretch the hand out and catch the ball. Now, I've played baseball and softball, so I know that if you miss that and it hits you, it's not going to feel good because I've been hit. And so, but you think, God said you can't make one hair white or black even though we try. It's called root treatment. Amen. We try to do it, but only God. Somebody say, only God. He calculates the number of the hair of our head. He tells the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Does all of this stuff in intricate detail. And you know, when we walk under an open heaven and understand, begin to get that understanding, that Lord, I understand that under an open heaven, I begin to think clearer. I'm just in part. I prophesy in part. I know in part. Whatever I do is just in part because we're all a bunch of intricate pieces of what you're putting together because we all make up the body of Christ. And the more we want to make him shine and be glorified, the more honor he's going to receive. Now, this is the other key, and I got to close with this. Let me ask you another question. Did Jesus ever have ever pray and the Father not hear him? Did Jesus get his prayers answered? Amen. He's the head of the church, which is his body. Amen. He is the Word of God. His word is a two-edged sword. He spoke it, one edge. We speak it, two edges. So when we pray, when the Father sees us, it's just like Jesus praying. Amen. The devil would have you believe that you have to beg God to get something done. All God wants you to do is to stand in faith. And I tell Deborah this, I said, I argue with God. What does that mean? I'm going to go to the courtroom. And I'm going to go in there with this because this is his. Forget yourself. Forget your righteousness. Forget your holiness. Forget any of that stuff because you know nothing without this. You go in there and say, God, you said, 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 you said. Who is he that accuseth you? See, he's telling you, he said, that guy that's accusing you, he's been cut off. He's already defeated. So know that in my courtroom, he said, that doesn't matter. It is the profession of faith and knowing what God said and getting in there and reminding him of it. Because how many knows, you know, when you go to court, it's in the earthly court, you know, you go in and you can pretty much tell whether you're winning or not. But you can pretty much tell if you're losing too. Amen. And so in God's court, as his child, you always win against the devil. Amen. You always win against the devil unless you are carnal and full of the flesh. Get what I'm saying now. It's not because you don't already have the victory or can't always triumph or don't overcome. It's that we have to begin to say, okay, I don't want to do anything to cause the Holy Spirit to retreat from me. And when I get in that courtroom, I want to make sure everything's under the blood. And I want to make sure that I'm in a place where I have what God said and nothing else can stand against this word right here. Somebody say amen. Amen. Say, it's a credible witness. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you right now that as Jesus said, thank you, Father, we know that you hear us when we pray. Whatsoever that we ask, John said, we know we have this confidence. We know we have the petition we desired of you. So, Father, tonight, I know that there are petitions that are going up to you. There are things, God, that people are calling out before your presence, Lord, in the courts of heaven. Father, but I thank you that your word is forever settled. Our enemy is defeated. So, Father God, tonight, I thank you, Lord, that I have enough sense and wisdom to know through your knowledge, the knowledge of the word, that, Father God, that we're not out here, Father God, just to for ourselves, but we're here for the glory of God. So, Father, we petition you tonight on behalf of one another and ask you, Father, that the heaven be absolutely swung wide open in every way. And Father God, that Lord, that your will come, interrupt everything that the enemy would try to bring. And Father God, that Lord, your decisions would come forth, your righteous judgments. Because Father, they are all good. And Father, we are blessed through Christ Jesus. And thank you tonight for your goodness and mercy. Now, Father, we bless you and praise you in the name of Jesus tonight. And honor your great name. And everybody said amen. Amen. If you want prayer tonight, if you want us to agree over something, please come now because we'll agree together and pray together and believe God to move. Sit in.